Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, on this New Year's Eve 2015, as we get ready very soon to step into 2016, we focus on Psalm 90, which is a prayer written by Moses. So before we go to the prayer itself, let's think a little bit about Moses. He lived for 120 years. His life is divided up into three 40-year periods. So for 40 years, he lived in the house of Pharaoh. And then an incident came up. He ended up killing an Egyptian and had to flee Egypt with his life. And then for 40 years, he was becoming a husband and a father in Midian. And then it was during the end of that time when God called Moses to deliver his people who were being held in slavery, in bondage, in Egypt. And then for 40 years, here is Moses leading God's people in the wilderness. So with Moses, he went through so much in his earthly life. He had many earthly blessings. He had many earthly trials. And also, too, keep in mind that Moses is the one who had those face-to-face conversations with the Lord. That must have been quite a situation for him. As we take a look at Psalm 90 now, may God help us to understand what it is saying, and may God help us to glean off the things that are important for our lives as we enter 2016. In this first section, we're focusing on the fact that God is so eternal. Notice what the psalm says. Keep in mind, this is Moses, and he's praying to the Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The focus here is on God being eternal. So how long is eternal? We have to think about now, and then work our way all the way back to the time of creation. That's a long time. And then we have to go back even prior to creation. So God is from eternity before creation, and then we have to come back to now. We have to think to the end of time, and then we have to think beyond the end of time and know that God is in that part of eternity as well. So from eternity before creation to eternity after creation, and even now, God's not bound by time like we are, so God is even in eternity over creation. So God wants us to know that he always has existed, he will always be God. He's not like a God who is currently functioning as God, but there was a God before him, there's going to be a God after him. Nothing like that. God has always been God. Going on to the second part, we focus on us people, how we are so much the opposite of God. We are so temporal. So the psalm goes on. Keep in mind again, Moses is praying to God, and he prays, "You return man to dust, and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers." Let's go back through that just for a moment. So, of course, we know from the Bible that God formed the man out of the dust of the earth. And we understand that after people die, and after they've been dead a long time, realistically, they return to the dust of the earth. So, think about how that compares to God. God is from eternity to eternity, and we begin as dirt, and we end as dirt. Quite a difference. It goes on to say, too, that for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past. So God is just so much bigger and so timeless in comparison to us. And then notice there in verse 6, it talks about flourishing in the morning, fading, and then withering. Let's make this comparison. So I would say that we as people, in comparison to God, we're kind of like a flower that only lives for one day. So imagine the flower is sprouting from the ground in the morning. By the time you get to midday, it is blooming. By the time you get to the evening, it is withering. And by the time it is dark, it is dead. That's about how we are. We are so temporal and we are so weak in comparison to the Almighty God. So Moses could see that reality. God wants us to see that reality too. In the third part, we see that God is fully aware of our sins. In verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." So we know from the Bible that God is omniscient. That means that God knows all things. So God not only knows all things, but he even knows our sins. He even knows our secret sins. God even knows the sins that people have committed when they themselves don't even know what sins they have committed. So God knows everything, and that should make us concerned, knowing that God is a holy God and God is aware of all those sins. So not a good combination. He is holy, we are unholy. He is almighty, we are weak. These are all bad situations. So a little bit of good news, though, from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, "If we see our sins in the proper spirit of repentance, then God does not see them, for they are then covered by the garment of Christ's righteousness." So normally, God being omniscient, he's going to see them all. We're going to be in trouble forever and ever. But the good news is that with repentance, now those sins are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we have so much to rejoice in as we end 2015, knowing our sins are covered by the perfect life, by the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then knowing we can step into the new year with Christ as our Savior, with God as our Father, with God having a plan for our lives, so many wonderful things. But think about most of the world, though. Most of the world, they don't know Jesus Christ. They are still in their sins, and they are in grave trouble unless they receive Christ as Savior. In the fourth part, we see that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in verses 9 and 10, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away." So we end our years with a sigh, with moaning. In today's world, people live beyond 70 or 80, but of course there are people that die way before 70 and 80. I think for people who live longer, it's generally a combination of them being diligent to take good care of themselves, trying to somewhat eat healthy and exercise. But also it has to be the blessing of God, though. We hear these stories sometimes where people are, let's say, extremely physically healthy, and yet they're out taking a run, no big deal. Maybe they're in their 30s or 40s, and all of a sudden they drop dead. So it has to be with the blessing of God, but God wants us to take care of our bodies too. He wants us to be good stewards of all that he has given to us. If we try to think about the whole picture here, God made a perfect world, but when the devil tempted the people, they did fall into sin, and that did bring sin into the world, that brought suffering into the world, and that brought death into the world. There's really nothing any of us can do to escape those things. So here we are living in this world of sin and sadness and death. Dr. Kretzmann made this comment. He wrote, "How foolish then for men to regard this life as the most desirable thing and to neglect the care for eternity. You know, think about that. So this is no perfect world we live in. This world is quite a mess. And yet, the majority of the world, they are pouring all their time and energy into the here and now, and they're putting virtually nothing into their eternity. But isn't that such foolishness, though, to think how this world is filled with sin and sadness and death, and yet their whole focus is here, rather than caring about eternity, where it's going to be the opposite of sin, sadness, and death? There's going to be forgiveness, joy, and life forever. That's what God wants for us. God is saying, invest your time in that direction. God wants us to know that even though we live in this valley of sorrow, our eternal punishment has already been suffered by Jesus. Our sins are already forgiven by Jesus. We are already alive through our faith in Jesus Christ, and we already have God's promise of a most wonderful eternity. God wants us to know these things are true and to rejoice in them even now. In part five, I say, all things considered, we need a heart of wisdom. So thinking about the psalm that I've read so far, Moses has spoken about God's eternal existence in comparison to our very temporal existence. He has also made a connection between our sins and God's wrath. With those realities in mind, let's consider the last two verses of our text, and let's also consider how we can go forth into 2016 with a heart of wisdom. Verses 11 and 12, it says, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear that is due to you?" Dr. Kretzmann asked the question, who fears the wrath of God in the proper measure? Maybe some people have a little bit of fear of the wrath of God, but I don't think people generally tend to have much. But if we really understood that God is almighty in power, and we really understood how much God could punish us, and in fact how much God should punish us because of our sins, we would really be sitting up and taking notice and somehow responding to God in a more proper way, but I don't think we see much of that out there. We see God basically being ignored and people somehow thinking it's going to turn out okay as they go their own direction. Finally, in verse 12, it says, so. In other words, we're thinking about verses 1 through 11 now. This is kind of the conclusion. So, because of all that we've talked about, so, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. God is eternal, without beginning and without end. God is omnipotent, so he's all-powerful. God is omniscient, so he is all-knowing, and God is holy. That means he is sinless and hating sin. So these are some of the things that came to my mind that would be included in a heart of wisdom. First of all, being sorry for our sins. God hates sins. We should be sorry for our sins. If we have a heart of wisdom, that would be included. Also, too, trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible makes it clear that he is the one and only Savior. So if we have a heart of wisdom, we're not going to trust in any good thing we have done, but our trust is going to be fully in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also included in this heart of wisdom would be making the most of our time. So our time is limited. God is eternal. Our time on earth, it is limited. So God is saying to us, recognize it is limited. Think about your relationship with me. Think about what I've told you in my holy word, God is saying to us. And then God is saying, bring all that stuff together and make the most of your time by seeking and following my will for your life. I believe these are things that God would say to us. One final thing here on our conclusion. Regarding a heart of wisdom, Dr. Kretzmann wrote, "The essence of wisdom is to be prepared for death at all times." Think about that. The essence of wisdom is to be prepared for death at all times. May God help us to know that we are ready for death when we know Jesus Christ as Savior. So as we go into 2016, may God help us to continue to develop that relationship with Him, to read more of the Bible, to think about what it says, to talk to God more in prayer, and to figure out what His will is for us, and then to move forward with His will, living unto the glory of our Heavenly Father and knowing our lives are in His hands, being at peace, come whatever, and knowing that when the time comes, God will, through Jesus Christ, take us home to heaven. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.